talks about expectation, waiting, building, something, a feeling of something coming, anticipation. And that's what we're doing between Passover and Pentecost. Something's coming. We're counting the Omer. Every day we're counting the day. Something's coming. Something good. Could be a miracle. And so what is it that's coming? Today we're going to look at part of what that is. Look in Leviticus 23. Leviticus 23 is the feast chapter. It tells what all the feasts of the Lord are. I want to emphasize, it tells what all the feasts of Yahweh are. Not the feast of the Jews, the feast of God. That means they transcend Judaism, which is important for us because we're not, I'm not, born of the bloodline of Jacob. Leviticus 23:15-22. We're not going to read the whole thing. I want you to notice a couple things. You shall count from for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath. I talked about that last Sunday. From the day when you brought that sheaf of barley into the temple, count seven Sabbaths. So you're counting weeks, seven of them, until you get to the day after the seventh Sabbath, which will be a Sunday. And then you're going to do something else. Let me find it in my Bible. You're going to offer some offerings, which I'm not going to talk too much about what those are right now because they all have significance, but I'm not going to look at those too much. So you're counting, let's see. You're going to bring, look at verse 17. You're going to bring two loaves of bread. They're going to be baked with fine flour, and this is going to be wheat flour. This isn't going to be barley, which I'll talk about later. And along with the bread, there's going to be some animal offerings. Look at verse 21. On the same day, you shall make a proclamation as well. You shall have a holy convocation, which just means a get-together, a meeting, an assembly. You shall do no laborious work. And look at 22. When you reap the harvest of your land, this is a harvest festival. So people are out there reaping. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap the very corners of your field, nor gather the gleaning of your harvest. You are to leave them for the needy, the alien, or the stranger. I am Yahweh your God. So they were to leave the gleanings of their field for the stranger, for the poor, and for the Levite, which it doesn't say there, but it's in another place in Deuteronomy. So the Feast of Pentecost, the time between Passover and Pentecost, was known as a time of great joy, great anticipation, great thanksgiving, and it was a time when poor people could be assured they were going to get enough to eat. And I want to look, remember in Exodus 19:4, it says, I bore you on eagle's wings, I brought you to myself. So God is saying, last week I thought it was interesting, one of the songs we sang was, I am the mighty God, I bore you on eagle's wings, and we sang that song. That's one of the types of songs that the children of Israel would be singing because they would be remembering that God brought them on eagle's wings. So I was doing some research about eagle's wings, but one of the things they do is they fly on drafts of warm air. Convection, I found out, is the name of a column of warm air rising from the earth, going up, making a cumulus cloud. Well, anyway, the eagles fly on these warm air things. And that's how Jesus, God said he brought the children of Israel through to himself. And if you remember in Exodus 5, verse 1, when Moses went to Pharaoh, he said, let my people go so that they can celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness. Now, they're not in the middle of a great time. They're in this slavery and poverty, and yet God is saying, let them go, because they're going to do something where they're going to have this great time in the wilderness. And I want to encourage us, in the wilderness, there's times that we meet with God. If you look up the word feast in Hebrew, it's moed, which means an appointed time. It's not just a day that you flip a coin and you say, let's come together and have a party for God. It means a time when it's set, It's been appointed by God, and he has planned to meet with you that day. And so when Moses told Pharaoh, let my people go that they may keep a festival, a feast day for me, a moed, an appointed day for me in the wilderness, he was saying several things. He was saying, I've got a special thing I want to do when I meet with these people. He was also saying, this isn't just any day. This is a certain specific day. And on that day, I'm going to come down and I'm going to meet with you. Now, we know Passover was a specific day, but that was when they were still in Israel, in Egypt. So it couldn't have been Passover. But there's another day coming, anticipation, something's coming, something good, and that's Pentecost. And we're going to talk about what Pentecost is. And if you remember, let's look at Deuteronomy 5:29. Look up here. It says, oh, that they, remember, God was lamenting after he'd given the law. He said, oh, that they had a heart in them, that they would keep, that they would fear me and keep my commandments, and that they, so that it would be well with them and their sons, and they would live forever. So God is lamenting that even though he's given these commandments, which are holy and just and true, they show his character and the beauty of God's holiness, the people didn't have a heart in them to keep them. They said with their lips, yes, everything that the Lord, like the little doggy in the window with the spring on his head, yes, everything that the Lord has said we will do. But unfortunately, God knew their heart was not circumcised to obey him. And so in Jeremiah 31, God promised them something that they needed to keep that holy commandment. Jeremiah 31, 33, this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and in their heart I will write it. I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And remember in Ezekiel, it says something kind of like that, where it says, a new covenant will I make with them. I will put my spirit within them. Now, did that happen at Mount Sinai? No. But we know it happened on the day of Pentecost after Jesus ascended. So there's a link between the giving of that law on Mount Sinai and the day of Pentecost that I want us to look at. Okay, now, look at Deuteronomy 29:14 and 15. God's telling the children of Israel, I'm not making this covenant of the commandments with you alone, but I'm also making it with those who are not here today. Now flip over to Acts 2, verse 39, and let's look at what Peter says on the day of Pentecost. Acts 2:39, there we go, for the promise is for who? It's for you and for your children. But who else? For all those who are afar off. Now, is that language kind of similar to what God had told them when he first gave the law at Mount Sinai? It's not just for you. It's for people that are afar off. And we read in Isaiah 56, for the stranger who will join himself to the covenant of the Lord and decide to keep his Sabbaths and his holy days, I will give him an inheritance that is even better than sons and daughters. And so there is this theme of covenant and marriage and unity. We're coming into a community of understanding. We're coming into a revelation of who this God is that brought us out of deliverance, that brought us out of bondage, that brought us out of servitude. And he's now giving us laws, but he's doing more than that. He's showing us mighty wonders. He's revealing who he is. He's taking us as a personal, in a personal covenant with himself, like a marriage covenant. And we see this exemplified in the book of Ruth, which I want to just show you a couple things. Turn to the book of Ruth if you have time. 1:19. We know that the book of Ruth is about a woman who was joined to the house of Israel, not by blood, but by a covenant promise and by a marriage. That's like us. We maybe weren't born into a covenant, but we were joined into a covenant by a promise and by blood. So here's what Ruth did. Ruth, look at Ruth 1:19. Where did they go? They had been in Moab. They went to Bethlehem. Bet, B-E-T, Bet means house. Lechem, bread, house of bread. So they were going to the house of bread. Then I want you to look at 20. Naomi said, don't call me Naomi anymore. Call me Mara. Remember the children of Israel when they had journeyed in the wilderness? What did they say? What place did they come to that had water? Mara. We see some similarities coming up in the book of Ruth that tie into the children of Israel's wilderness journey. Next, I want you to look at verse 22. What time of the year was it when Ruth and Naomi came back to Israel? Look at the very last sentence. Barley harvest, when is that? Passover, Pentecost, Sukkot, when is that? It's Passover to Pentecost. At Passover, they took the very first fruit, the very first fruit of the barley harvest, and they offered it. And that was Jesus. He was the very first barley represented by the barley. So now from Pentecost all the way through from Passover all the way through to Pentecost, there's a reaping of the barley harvest. The wheat harvest is beginning to ripen. And on Pentecost, they're going to offer two loaves of bread with leaven for the priest that are made out of wheat. And I'm going to talk more about that next week. But that has great symbology, too. So now I want you to look at, so there's this time, there's a space of time between Passover, Pentecost, when something happens in the book of Ruth. And we all know the story. But let's look. Look at chapter 2 of Ruth, verse 12. This is Boaz talking to Ruth. May the Lord reward your work and your wages be full from Yahweh, the God of Israel, under whose wings, does that sound familiar? I brought you out with eagle's wings. So again, there's the verbiage that God used when he brought them out of Israel. Now I want you to look at verse 23. Verse 23 of Ruth 2. 2:23. There it is. Okay, when was it? From the end of the barley harvest and on into the wheat harvest. So that's our time span, just verifying what I've already told you. And then last of all, 3:14, Ruth 3:14. Ruth laid at Boaz's feet. In the morning he got up. Uh-oh, that doesn't look right. I might have written the wrong verse down because it says, I am your redeemer, I'm your kinsman redeemer. And so again, what we see is that... It's 12. Thank you. Sorry, Rich. We see that there is this whole redemption theme being proposed. We see a marriage theme. We see a grafting into a covenant theme. And that's what this time from Passover to Pentecost is. There's an anticipation. There's a miracle coming. There's something great coming. There's a covenant going to be kept. There's a God going to be revealed. There's an identity you're going to have. There's an expectation that you can look forward to. There's a miracle. So I just wanted to, that's all I have for today.